you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Welcome back, folks. When it comes to health optimization, people often start with diet, exercise, fancy fringe supplement routines. If they're working with a good coach, rest and recovery. But really, it starts long before that. From lots of my own research and personally talking to hundreds of people that have made long-term, lasting changes, it starts with mindset. You can either work with your subconscious or against it. And fighting against your subconscious is an uphill battle. In this conversation, we talk about reprogramming your subconscious through techniques such as mind movies, which I'll link in the show notes, and affirmations, the specialty of our guest this week. Heath Armstrong is an author, the co-founder of Rage Create, and an e-commerce maniac. He is the creator of Sweet Ass Affirmations, motivations for your creative maniac mind, several Sweet Ass journals, and the host of the Never Stop Peaking podcast. If you're interested in starting and running your own lifestyle business, that is, conforming your business around your ideal lifestyle, Heath is your guy. He's worked location independently from over 20 countries, summited the world's largest freestanding volcano, survived rafting the Nile River, witnessed exorcisms in Indonesia, and fallen in love with the culture and experience of East African digital education for children. He is also the co-founder of FBALeadList.com, SellerSpaceship.com, and a founding partner of Relief Outings, a nature experience company based in Tennessee. In this episode, we talk about infusing logical-based reasoning professions with creativity and how it applies to everyone, as well as a few ancestral health practices that we both like, and building adventure into your work schedule. All right, enough background and on to the show. Today, we've got Heath Armstrong on the show. Heath is a creative writer, author of the Sweet Ass Journal, and the host of the Never Stop Peaking podcast. Heath, welcome to the show.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me, dude.
Good to have you. Let's start off light like I always do. What are some non-negotiable things that you've done so far today for your health and performance?
I was having a ridiculous emotional attack the past couple of days, and I had to really like refocus and center myself. So today in particular, I made sure I got up early at 5 o'clock and I did some deep stretching. Then I did some intense breath work, followed by a complete rewriting of my affirmations for 2021. And that was quite glorious. And then sitting outside with the sun, just kind of like blazing on my face, was also a big part of that, and hydrating myself and trying to remind myself of all the beauty and the gratitude in the world. Cause man, sometimes you fall down that slippery slope of darkness and it's hard to crawl out.
What form of breath work do you practice?
I was just doing Wim Hof this morning, but there's a lot of different ones that I've navigated. I mean, I completely shifted my physical health with a pretty intense form of breath work in Nicaragua in 2017 or end of 2018, which was remarkable. It was called Breath of One, but it was basically 30 minutes of intense, similar to Wim Hof's method. And then 30 minutes off and then 30 minutes on and 30 minutes off. And essentially you're coupled with somebody else because you at that extent, and breath work is a pretty serious thing. So don't just like overdo it, cause you can actually harm yourself by doing crazy shit with your breath, but you're anchored to someone and you start to really cripple up because of, 30 minutes of deep breathing will really take you to a psychedelic place. It's really unbelievable. Some people are screaming, some people are crying, some people are pissing themselves, some are throwing up. I was a little bit of all the things, and I couldn't have any sort of hot, spicy foods or carbonation before that. My entire life, they had on me jacked up on all these stupid fucking acid blockers and, you know, just stuff that is really just creating more problems so that you have to get hooked on buying the solution from a pharmacy or whatever. And I walked out of that breath work and started craving immediately, like within an hour, was like, I want spicy food, but I know I can't have it. But I ate some really hot stuff because the people at the table were all like, God, that's super fucking hot. And I was like, I don't really feel the spice in it. This is weird. This can't be. And then I tried carbonation, and like, I could drink carbonation. And to this day, I can eat like the spiciest foods and drink carbonated beverages. And I couldn't before. So it's like the shit that we have blocked up inside of our body can be altered or like healed with just your breath. Like, that thought in itself is insane, but it's so true. Like, the breath is one of the most, it's the most important thing we have. It's the only thing we can't go without. Right. So why are we not paying more attention to it?
That's an incredible story. What led you to Nicaragua in the first place?
I was talking on, so this PR girl contacted me. Her name was Jennifer, and she had found my journal, the sweet ass journal to develop your happiness muscle in 100 days. And she was wanting to promote it. And like, I talked to her, and like, I wasn't really like wanting to pay her to do these things that she wanted to do. But in that process, she was like, you should meet my friend Jules. And Jules Schroeder is the founder of The Unconventional Life. And she sets up these, like, it's really cool. She sets up these like experience retreats around the world for people, but she markets them as a business accelerator to pull people in that are in business. But then you get there and she blows your fucking mind with personal development. And it like doesn't really have a lot to do with business. Like, and it's really authentic, relating uncomfortable things. So like, I talked to Jules, and she's considering having me on her podcast. And it was on the Forbes Under 30 channel at the time. And I like got, like, we just clicked, and she was like, you know what? Like, her story is nuts because she died for like 5 minutes in this like crazy wakeboarding accident and went to this place where she was, you know, communicating with these white beings. She calls them like the seven shadow council members or whatever. And they sent her back to the earth, and she's been completely different ever since. And she had this agenda when she came back. And one of the agendas was to create these events. And she was like, she tells me her story and it blows me away. And then she's like, you need to come to Nicaragua. There's no questions about it. Like, come down here. And there's a reason. You've got something you need to shift inside of you. And I was like, what? Like, come to Nicaragua? Like, that was like when I first started traveling. Like, I had never really left the country until I was like 28 or 29. And I was only about like 30 at that time. And she's the reason I went down there, man. And she was right. It was wild.
How'd you get to where you are today? Like, from Nicaragua to journals and everything in between?
The journals and the affirmation decks kind of started around the same time I was going down there, but you know, I went through 10 years of alcoholism, working in the concrete construction industry for $13 an hour in a factory that, you know, making concrete products that carried human feces underground, and not knowing that I could be creative, not knowing anything about my health or how to be healthy, really not knowing that the foundation for all success in business and creativity has to start with personal, you know, health and wealth. Of your structure, of your mind and your body and your energy. And I met a lot of magical people that helped me along the way. And I woke up face down, pants down in my garage with a bloody nose and my car running in the front yard. And I had to deal with the realization that I was most likely going to either die or make changes. And neither one of them sounded easy. And there's a lot of resistance, a lot of procrastination. And the journey that led me to Nicaragua was just the people that trickled into my life to help me, but also like the decision to start reacting in a positive way and not in a suppressing way. Because I think, you know, life isn't about what happens to you. It's not about the the beauty that happens to you, and it's not about the bullshit that happens to you. Life is about how you choose to react when it happens. I decided to react differently. And then I was like, where do I want to go and who do I want to be? Do I want to travel the world and work for myself? Well, how do I do it? And the answer to that for me was to start finding people who were doing it and asking them questions. So, you know, I did that and I started to try to apply what I learned to my own life to see if I could make transitions and create a more sustainable, like real creative happiness type journey.
Whether it's masterminds and groups of like-minded folks, or it's just a single mentor, how do you go about finding those people? Because I believe that's one of the most important things you can do for your life and success.
First step is being open and allowing yourself to find them. It's almost like writing affirmations. Like if you don't truly believe that it's possible, it's not going to happen. And so to do that, you have to be able to be willing and you have to be open to it. So like, I am willing to meet the people that can help me. I am willing to meet the people that align with my passions and my values. And then I am open to it. And, working on that mindset and then also putting yourself in a position to where you're sharing the things that light you up. Like, what are you passionate about? If you don't know, make a giant list of the shit that you don't want in your life, the stuff that you're not passionate about, and then look at the opposite of what that is. And those are really prime angles to go at, because once you know who you are and what your core vision of who you want to become is, you can then start sharing it openly and not attaching yourself to an outcome and not expecting anything to happen, but trusting in the universe that if you share what you truly love, you're going to be releasing a vibration that allows you to meet other people that are doing the same thing. It allows you to open your mindset to be thinking about this stuff that you love, so that then you might notice that person walking by talking about it, or you might notice that podcast streaming on the subject that you love. And you might actually try to contact the person who is on the show and ask them some questions. But it all starts at like one little baby thing, because I had no network. I knew no one. I was extremely introverted, you know, just playing fucking video games all day and eating pain pills and drinking. Like, that is a very suppressing, scary hole to go down. And I asked one person for help to start, man. Her name was Amber Ludwig. Her story was incredible. And she was some, you know, business owner who hadn't, I had total imposter syndrome asking. But I didn't, I just reached out and told her, thank you for like inspiring. I had listened to a show she was on where she shared a story, and like, I didn't really expect her to reply, but she did. She replied. And then she asked to call me. And in that moment, I freaked out and was like, gonna just ignore it and go back to myself. But something happened and it was like, no, don't fucking ignore this. Like, this woman, she's gonna call you. What's the worst that can happen? Because if you don't take the opportunities, if you don't walk through the door, you give yourself a 0% chance of succeeding. Well, I was sick of not succeeding in any way. You know, I was sick of always having a wall in front of me. I was sick of going and, you know, shitting all over myself every Sunday night because I had to go to work, and then wishing away my weeks for the weekends. Like, you know how fucking mad it is to wish away your time, to wish away your family and your friends and your life because you don't want to go to a job? Like, that's not why we're here to live. So I let her call me, and you know, the worst thing that can happen is she tells me I'm crazy and hangs the phone up, and then I'm still in the same position. But I knew that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. So she calls me, and she introduced me to two people. She introduced me to one guy named Hal Elrod, who is an international bestseller, you know, the Miracle Morning series. And I was able to learn from him how to implement a morning routine that would change, you know, the way that I started my day, and therefore the way that I start everything in my life. And then she introduced me to a guy who did podcasts, and that's how I learned how to podcast. And so like, I didn't know that was going to happen, but it did. And I went with it and I followed it and I went through the doors, and that led me to meeting all of these unbelievable, amazing people all around the world. There's so many, man. There's so many on the team. There's so many of us out there, like, and we need more. So it's like, if you're in a position where you feel dark and harsh, make the choice and like send a message and share what you love, because we are out here and we do want to see you be successful too.
It's surprising just how many people that you think are way out of your league, would never respond, actually see your message and do respond.
Yeah, because they didn't get to where they're at by ignoring or like shitting all over, you know, karma or dharma or whatever. Like, they got to where they're at because people helped them. And most people that get to that place, I mean, there are some, of course, that fold into ego, and we all have trouble with ego from time to time. It's a continuous journey, you know, to like make friends with your ego and not like try to like battle it, but to like understand it and love it instead. And most people that find success and have an abundance of happiness, they're there because they like to help people. Because you don't find happiness and get everything that you want by being self-centered. You do it by helping other people. And that's what really drives all of this creative juice and this collective like surge to be better. It's helping each other.
After studying under Hal Elrod, The Miracle Morning, morning routines are one of the harder things for people to implement. It's like they see this list of things they feel they must do, and all of a sudden, if they're not dedicating 2 hours every morning, they're not doing it. And then they try that for a week, fail, quit. What's your system of building and establishing like long-lasting habits and routines?
The first time I tried to implement anything, it was just the idea of like overcoming this mindset I had that meditation was bullshit. And like making fun of people who meditated, like that, I'm not afraid to admit that that was me at one point. Like I used to do that. Like it's crazy to me because like a lot of my life now is spent in meditation in many different aspects, but I started by simply breathing. There's a great book called Breath by James Nestor. Unbelievable, man. Like this simple principle of paying attention to how you're breathing and working on your breath can change everything. There's another one called The Five Tibetans by Christopher Killian, I think is his name. But again, there's these five simple things you can do every day that will blow open like your energetic relationship with your body and like your chakras and your Kundalini energy and all these things. I didn't know any of that stuff when I started, but all I did was I stopped doing everything. I sat down and I closed my eyes and I breathed for 5 minutes. I just set a timer. That was it. Nothing else. And once I was okay with doing that, and I started to see the value of it, which was pretty instantaneous, just stopping and breathing for 5 minutes. There's a lot of people that can be like, I don't have time to do that. That's the person who most needs to do it. But there's no one that's going to do that and come out of it and say that didn't help me at all. Definitely helps every time. And that's how I started. And then it was just simple. Like I was working full time, 10 to 12 hours a day. And I had to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to try to get this stuff, this routine in. And like, I started to fall in love with that. It was really hard for me to wake up usually because I was drinking all night, but if I cut out drinking, I could wake up earlier. And then there was like this serene peace with the darkness in the morning, man. It was like this just cool feeling of being up when the sun hasn't come up yet and everybody else was sleeping and breathing and reading like 3 or 4 pages of something inspirational, doing a little journaling with affirmations, and then, you know, reviewing what kind of actions I was going to take that day to move towards my dream, to be able to get away from my job or something like that. And it doesn't have to be overwhelming or complicated. If you're overwhelmed or complicated, you're approaching it in the wrong way. Find the stuff that you enjoy doing. If you enjoy reading, even if it's like fantasy or something, it doesn't have to be self-help. Just read a little bit in the morning, move your body, you know, do a little jump rope or dance or something. Everyone, like a lot of people love dancing. Like you can't go wrong there. Cold showers, like taking a jog, whatever it is that can get your blood pumping and light you up. Just start with one thing. And then once you feel good about that, move into adding something else onto it. And there's just really limitless, you know, combinations of things that you can do to find the perfect thing for yourself.
When people go to add a new item, a new activity into their routines, I always suggest that they try it and then stick with it for an entire week. Because sometimes, because of other lifestyle factors, you might not feel the benefits of meditation from the first, second, or even third time. But on that fourth day, fifth day, sometimes that's when things click and all of a sudden you notice what a difference it makes. And then on the eighth day, when you stop it, all of a sudden it's even more clear.
Yeah. And then on like, you know, day 550 or whatever, you're just like, you can't ever imagine the life that you live without it. But that's a good principle. You're right about that. I agree.
I have your sweet ass affirmations right here. And when I was going through it in the instructions, which, by the way, I never read instructions, but since yours are, they look beautiful, I actually read them this time. You mentioned that creation is one of life's gifts. What makes creation special?
Well, we were put on this earth to create, right? We are creators. We are creating things that will live long after our physical bodies expire. There is a force that lurks to cripple our creativity, and it's called resistance. It's the opposite of wanting things to progress. It's wanting things to die off. It's wanting things to stop in their tracks. It does not want anything to evolve in a positive direction. Our mission as creatives is to overcome resistance and to beat out procrastination and to stomp those hesitation gremlins and move towards making things that can continue to live and breathe and inspire the world long after we are gone. There is nothing more important than having a creative baby and watching it grow. And that can be a project. It could be a child. It can be a puppy that you're, you know, adopting. It can be a plant that you plant in your garden. But anything that we're interacting with in using our sensories to develop, it's creating. And we're always creating. We're always creating thoughts in our heads. We're always creating environments around us. We're manifesting things. And it's really hard to explain how magical it is once you can bust through the veil of understanding how to play with the universe by creating and manifesting. But essentially, we create these self-imposed limitations on ourselves, and they are so much smaller and more limiting than our physical limitations. So if you imagine a giant wagon wheel or whatever, like a big outer circle with a little small inner circle, this is how I like to visualize it because it helps. I'm a visual person and it helps me remember what I'm doing. You know, we have this little circle in the middle and those are our self-imposed limitations. I can't do this because I don't have enough energy. I can't write a book because I'm not a good enough writer. These are limitations that are completely false, but we put them on ourselves mainly because layers that are stacked upon us from the time that we're born, from society or religion or politics or teachers or parents, these beliefs that get instilled in us that really aren't ours. They create this structure that makes us believe that we have all these self-imposed limitations. These self-imposed limitations stop us from creating. Creating is incredibly important for us to move forward. Then we have our physical limitations, which are like way outside on the outer circle. And physical limitations are like, you know, I can't fucking dunk a 15-foot hoop basketball, or I can't jump from here to the moon yet. But physical limitations are also something that we can technically bypass in our mind. You may not be able to do something in the physical world, but you can make that physical thing happen in a simulation in your mind if you go into a deep enough meditation. And the goal is to expand those self-imposed limitations so that they blast even farther past the boundary of your physical limitations. And because that's the area where you're going to find freedom and happiness and ultimate like serenity with your muse. That's where you're going to come into like unison with your true nature and your highest self. And so all of these things that are in between trying to keep your self-imposed limits so small are things like resistance and procrastination and distraction and your toxic friends who want you to come out and pound brews at the bar every night and all the distractions on your phone, your apps and like social media. Like that's the beauty and the power of creation. It's like we have the ability to do things that are so far beyond what we think we're capable of. Can you believe in yourself? Can you lean into the mystery of the unknown? And can you just fucking rage? Like just do it with passion and grit and not attach yourself to an expectation.
You bring up a good point that a lot of people associate creativity with art and music. And what you're saying is that creativity is the act of creation. And it's an act of like self-expression, and it isn't limited to those several fields.
Right. It's the, you know, it's the power of creating over the actual creation. It's just doing it. It's being in that zone of painting and not what you're painting. It's sitting down and writing and not caring so much about what you're writing. Like when you can learn to love the craft of creating in itself, that's when brilliant stuff is going to unfold with it, because we are releasing and letting go of this attachment and this idea of what we think we're going to bring into the world that's going to help us or save our lives. But the truth is it's all internal. Like pain comes internally. You have to feel it. You have to work through it. You have to love it to be able to release it. Same with all of your creativities. It's like, you just have to be in it because you love it. You're dancing because you love dancing, not because you care about what people think when they're watching your video that you posted of you dancing on social media with your spring break thong on, acting like you are just posting your dance moves when you really know you're just going to get a bunch of likes because you're in a thong. You know, like it's these things, this fucking sick, like narcissistic side of our world that sucks us in. You know, follow the yellow brick road. It might be purple. Follow the purple brick road. Like, do it because you love it.
I know that you're an outdoors guy. I like to spend time outdoors, biking, motorcycling, kiteboarding, whatever it is. What are some of the most important, impactful health practices you do?
Grounding is the most important thing. I call it earthing also. This is a really important factor because we've kind of all lost our ability to understand how important our connection with Earth is. Before, there were concrete jungles and rubber-soled shoes and sterile hospital delivery rooms and carpets and paints and plastic bottles and cubicles. Our ancestors evolved over millions of years in direct contact with the earth. You know, they're swimming in waterfalls. They're growing things out of the ground. They were running around, absorbing antioxidants and vitamins and critical aminos and dense nutrients through those untainted soils and in the natural water sources, et cetera. The sunlight is a really important one. Nature is the ultimate healer physically, mentally, and spiritually. There is a fucking reason why ideas explode and inflammation disappears. And stress really goes into retreat when you're outside, when you're spending time hugging a tree. I mean, like if I go out camping and I pound like 30 beers, I can wake up and actually feel like decent. It's very strange because it's like if I did that inside, I would feel like I'm dying. Well, why is that? You know, it's because there's really a scientific thing that happens when you earth yourself. I'm not saying that it's an excuse to go out and pound 30 beers in nature, but like you drink a couple beers and under sunset, there's nothing wrong with that. Like a delicious IPA and watching the tide come in. But when you walk barefoot on the earth, you are absorbing a supercharge of electrons from the earth's electrical current through the fascia on the bottom of your feet. When we put a rubber shoe on, we block that and we're not allowing that connectivity between us and the earth. These electrons that you are absorbing, they act as antioxidants and they neutralize the excessively positive charged free radicals in your body. So if free radicals are not neutralized, they go in around your body essentially, and they steal electrons from the other atoms in your body. And this creates an ongoing damage across your cell structure. This is what creates inflammation. This is the pre to all disease. Antioxidants are special because they can lend electrons to free radicals without becoming unstable themselves. So this results in neutralization of the problem in itself. So like if you have an excess flow of electrons coming in, you don't have to worry about these free radicals attacking because they get balanced themselves. Everything's happy. Inflammation disappears. Chronic inflammation really becomes it's crazy how much better you start to feel. Your cells get repaired. I'm not a doctor. I'm not claiming anything, but there's an epic documentary. If you just go to earthing.com, they sell like grounding mats and stuff like that. I know. I think we talked and you use earthing products as well, right?
Yeah. I read Clint Ober's book called Earthing. And after that, I try and get outside and earth naturally as much as possible. But when I'm working to offset some of the damages caused by electrosmog and indoor sedentary lifestyle, I stand on a earthing mat while I work.
Yeah, I have earthing mats and I sleep on one of the mattresses. I mean, your body is repairing itself most when you sleep. And so if anything, try to get one that you can put on your bed, because then you're getting the electrons that you need to be able to repair your cell structure when you're sleeping. But dude, some of the benefits, like detoxification of the body physically, mentally with stress, decreased chronic inflammation, better blood flow, better sleep, better oxygenation, boosted immunity, obviously anxiety and stress goes way down. And I've realized, like, at first I started sleeping longer, but then I kind of got back to normal with my length, but I just feel amazing. And now when I don't have it, I can like tell the difference. Like, my hip hurts really bad, or I don't think I got enough sleep, you know? And I'm currently trying to reverse, cause I've got sleep apnea, and that's an issue that a lot of people have, because we have evolved to not have big enough mouths anymore. Our mouths are getting too small for our breath flow. And yeah. I'm trying to work on, like, how can I train myself to fix that problem? Because it's a big thing long-term. It can cause some serious health issues. And it's just little by little exploration of these amazing things. But earthing, yeah.
I actually did a sleep lab a number of years back, and they found that I had sleep apnea, and I've been controlling it pretty well. If I actually have it, I'm not sure, because when they attach a bunch of electrodes onto you and make you sleep in a laboratory, that alone disrupts sleep. But I've been looking for other ways of managing and overcoming that. So let me know what you encounter there.
Yeah. Do you get that book, Breath? Because
I've read that book.
Have you?
It's a good book. Yeah.
There's like a chapter in it on, which I haven't got, I saw the chapter, I haven't gotten to the apnea section, but my girlfriend told me that there's like, he has some sort of principle on it. And
I mouth tape at night with some like paper surgical tape. And I found that makes a huge difference in the way I sleep.
So she told me to do that. And I've heard other people talk about doing that and actually correcting it long-term, like training yourself. And so, I'll try it. What kind of tape do you use?
It's just like 3M paper tape. And because when you lay on your back and you sleep, your mouth naturally hangs open because of gravity. Yeah. And so this just keeps that from happening. And I didn't realize it was an issue until I slept with it on and then took it out and slept with it off and realized that, oh, big difference in sleep quality. And I've done that experiment many times when I forget to wear it.
Cool. I'm going to do it.
Heath, we're running low on time. I know you have to run in a minute, but I want to talk about affirmations and how you got involved with them and what they mean.
Yeah, man, affirmations, it's funny to look at them and be like, that's woo, that's bullshit, it doesn't work. But the important thing about affirmations is, for me in particular, and I think in general also, is they can change your life if you work with them effectively. If we talked about sort of creating a vision of who you want to become earlier, by figuring out what you don't want to become and creating this, you know, overall structure of like what's who you are, what's around you, what are you doing with your time, in your optimal environment? Like, what would you do with your time if you didn't have to worry about money, if you didn't have to worry about pleasing people or going to a job? How would you spend your time? And what does that look like? And you can take pieces of that and try to start affirming those things. And it goes back to openness and will again. Like, if I'm using an affirmation because I'm struggling with loving myself, I say I love myself over and over again. From a woo perspective, it's like, oh, you know, that could work. It could make you love yourself eventually because you're saying it over and over again. But like, if I don't truly believe it, it's never going to help me. So how do you rework that kind of statement so that you can believe it? Well, let's add openness to it. So like, I am open to loving myself. Is that true? Yeah, I think so. Like, I think I am open to loving myself because I want to. So of course I'm open to it, but I just don't know how. And then you can add action by forming will into there. So like, I am willing to love myself. Am I willing? Like, actually, yeah, I am willing to. So what can I do to get there? And affirmations can be used around like legit, like I am location independent was one I used for 3 or 4 years straight. I wrote it every day on a note card. And I wrote the date that I wanted it to become true by. And then on the other side of the note card, I wrote 2 action items I was going to take that day to move towards that vision and that affirmation. And like, that's the main way I like to use affirmations. I have this notebook right here when I was working on my affirmations this morning. You can see I've got like probably 15 affirmations in the front of my notebook. And every single one of these, some of them are related to my mental health. Some of them are related to business. But for instance, like, I live freely in my van, absorbing inspiration from the great outdoors and channeling it into projects to help the world. I intuitively search for a creative farm and lab to make, you know, medicine and creations on. And like, that's me. That was an affirmation I wrote before I had my van, before I lived in it, which so part of this has come true, but now it becomes the part where I am searching for this creative farm in this lab. And the second affirmation I have attached to that is, I am so grateful to be able to work from anywhere and to have a creative farm and command center with a pole barn, greenhouses, gardens, an apothecary, float tanks, hot and cold plunge tanks, and a wood-burning sauna and more so that I can work on projects and products that help myself discover unconditional love and truth so that I can then help other people discover unconditional love and truth as well. Like, it gets very detailed, and I can take that whole affirmation and close my eyes and think about what's around me. What does it look like? How am I walking through it? And that's what really convinces my subconscious that it's possible and reminds me to take action in each moment to move towards it. So like when I'm driving down the road and I see a sign that says like land for sale, and I also see a sign that says happy hour, you know, $3 IPAs, blackout until you black out, I'm so convinced that I want the land because of my affirmations that I take that left turn instead of pulling into the parking lot and pounding a bunch of IPAs and waking up face down, pants down in the bushes. So affirmations are really important because everything that I've accomplished since 2013 has been built off the back of combining action with this vision that I create in, within my affirmations. And, you know, the card decks that I make are really just magical reminders to try to get your mind thinking differently so that you can create your own affirmations too. And I think they're really important because, you know, I didn't do any marketing for them when I created that first deck, and they've really just spread kind of virally with word of mouth because people love them. And, you know, we have all these distractions that are trying to knock us off our focus in just a couple seconds. Why not make things that remind us? And that's what I tried to do with the decks.
So I also use a morning affirmation practice, and on mine, I'll read out one of mine from today. It's, why am I aligning with my higher authentic purpose? And when I compare mine to yours, yours is more of a story, like a story that you can live, and mine is just like a little brief line. And I have a feeling that when you engage your senses and you're able to actually live it, it becomes more powerful and real.
Dude, it's so real. That's the other, it's like you have to get your emotions into it, get your rage into it, get your passion into it, because you say it out loud and you're talking yourself through the environment and you're getting your senses. Like, what does it feel like? What does it taste like? Who's around me? What kind of food am I eating? You know, and like it really makes it come to life. It really. But I'm curious about the way that you're doing it, 'cause you're asking yourself a question and that prompts a lot of thoughts too. And like, that could also take you down this path of thinking about stuff on a really deep level as well. So I might try that, 'cause it sounds pretty cool. I've never seen them in a question format before.
The reason I ask it in a question is because I read in a book on learning that when you ask a question, it allows the material, the information, to slip into your subconscious and bypass your reticular activating system, which tends to filter all the things out. So if you walk down the street and someone talks about punch buggies and all of a sudden you're seeing them everywhere, there's no more than there usually is, except you're now aware of it it's been embedded in your subconscious. So it works similarly to do the same thing with whatever content you put in your affirmation.
Yeah. And I think that the question part of the process when I build my affirmations actually is in there when I'm building it out. But when I come up to the final one, it usually is a statement. Because like, am I willing to love myself? We were talking about that earlier. You know, that's a question.
So just to show the watchers, the viewers, this is what one of them looks like. And then this is the affirmation. On the other side, there's motivation. And why did you pair the motivation with the affirmation?
Well, the motivation is like a jetpack. It's to kind of kick your ass into gear, because the affirmation is really personal. We use affirmations to convince our subconscious that something is true, but then we need a little bit of zest, a little bit of grit to get us thinking differently about this approach. And so affirmations can be kind of boring and woo on their own. And I think oracles are so popular because there's like this mysterious message to it. So I kind of combine an oracle deck and an affirmation deck, and it's just a way to get your mind juicing and thinking about it, and to get a little bit of inspiration flowing, the fairy dust, you know, like the grit.
An extra boost.
Yeah.
Well, Heath, if there was a worldwide burning of the books and you got to keep three most impactful resources, they can be books, podcasts, videos, you name it, what would you choose?
Steven Pressfield turning pro.
Over to War of Art.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you, I mean, they're both incredible, but turning pro is just a little bit, it's my thing. It's like, holy fuck. I guess it's more of a personal issue for me, like amateur versus pro. Like I'm so susceptible to be slipping into that amateur mindset. And I love that book. That would be one. The Immortal Self by Arivindra Himadra is incredible. It's kind of like, sort of like The Untethered Soul, but like it's this story, this spiritual adventure of exploring the Valley of the Amarta Masters by this incredible dude. I don't know, maybe Be Here Now, Ram Dass, or Hero with a Thousand Faces, Joseph Campbell could be in there. Like something about the exploration of mystery and surrendering to your flow. And if anyone's dealing with emotional trauma, there's a really good book called Letting Go by David Hawkins. This guy's brilliant. It has this map of consciousness in it, and you can navigate any sort of emotion you have all the way up to the sense of enlightenment and how to let go to get to the next phase. And it really helped me in my journey.
I have about four of his books on my reading list.
Dude, why are they trying to cancel this dude? It's like he's disappearing all over the internet. It's fucking wild. He's so brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens these days.
Wild.
Well, Heath, you might have to return for a part two because we never even covered your sweet ass journal or your podcast or the other things you're working on. But if my listeners are interested in picking up either your journal, this deck of affirmations, or connecting with you, how should they go about getting in contact?
Yeah, HeathArmstrong.com will get you pretty much anywhere, but RageCreate.com is where the affirmation decks are. We have a new website coming up this week, so that's exciting. And then this, for podcasters, like I've turned all of my cards into quick 60-second power affirmation podcasts and with some hype music so you can kind of listen through these messages. Also, that is going to be called 60-second power affirmations for your creative maniac mind. That will be launching also within the next coming weeks. Probably it might be out before this episode. There's a flying unisquid on the cover. You can't miss it. And then, Never Stop Peaking podcast. I'm at Heath Fist Pumps on Instagram. If anyone wants to directly message me, I really don't be scared to do it because it means a lot to me to help. And I'm just like, I'm very easy to approach. I just love talking to people. So
perfect. Let's move on to the rapid fire round now for the last few minutes.
All right.
What's the best or worst advice you've ever received?
Oh my God. In my journal, there's a Joseph Campbell quote that really stuck to me like hardcore. And this was something I was talking to Dave Len about earlier because I was interviewing him. He's a videographer. But it's when you follow, I think I have it memorized actually. When you follow your bliss, that thing that truly electrifies you, four things automatically happen. The first one is you put yourself in the path of good luck. So like you put yourself in the path of good luck. You meet the people you want to know. Doors open for you that weren't there before, and doors open for you that wouldn't open for anybody else. And like me contemplating that over the past 7 years, it's just like, it's a simple reminder just to do shit that you like, the stuff that excites you, the stuff that makes your hair stand up. It doesn't always create income in the beginning, but if you stick to it and you share enough, you may run into a situation or walk through a door where you can make a little bit of income doing it. Or it might be enough to inspire you to take a shift away from what you're doing that you really don't like at all and find something that's a little bit better and slowly work towards the process. So it's like continuous exploration through doors changes everything.
In any case, it leads somewhere good.
Yeah.
On that note, what are you excited about and researching these days?
Oh, so many things, man. I'm writing a book right now, and it's been like kind of everything in my head. I'm really excited about the Africa project that I've been working on more than anything. And we just launched I finally got this website done so that I can help get kids sponsored at the school that I work at in Uganda. That really excites me. like it was a, it was like this really hard process for 3 years, like that just like things weren't working. And I was like, does the universe want me doing this? I really want, like, it's like the most humbling project that I've worked on. So that's exciting to me, but research, a lot of research has come in this book that I'm doing. And, I don't know, man, like I like psychedelics and foraging and like all these cool things. It's like a plant medicine, and it's a never ending exploration into unknown cultures, I guess.
Yeah. And that's all in vogue right now too.
Yeah.
What's one thing that your tribe doesn't know about you?
Probably that I have 2 world records. I always forget about that, but I thought about it this morning and it's like, I don't ever tell anybody that. They were group world records, but I still, you know, I still have them. They still count. So
what are they?
Largest breakfast in bed and largest simultaneous application of lipstick.
You'll have to send over photos of these so I can put them in the show notes.
Yeah, well, I think I might have one of the breakfast in bed, but I can't promise because everything gets lost in my whatever digital files of hell somewhere.
Well, Heath, how would you like to conclude our journey together tonight?
And I guess with a Hunter S. Thompson quote, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro.
Good way to put it. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, dude. Thank you so much. It's been fun.
I'm Nick Irvin with Heath Armstrong from mindbodypeak.com signing out. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/ and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.